Hey, everybody. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Dow Family Estates in Paso Robles, California. Known for its range of highly rated wines and stunning tasting room views to bring you guys, our backseaters, a special offer. Listen, I know in the past we've had offers. Not all of you guys can go to California and go up and check out the mountain. I understand. And we also know that choosing a quality everyday red wine is tricky, and Dow makes that decision easy for their 2018 Dow Central Coast Pinot Noir. An elegant, authentic, and accessible Pinot Noir made from winemaker and proprietor Daniel Dow's favorite coastal vineyards. And our offer for you guys, our backseaters, offering our listeners free shipping on three bottles or more of the 2018 Dow Central Coast Pinot Noir when you use promo code
PASO.
P-A-S-O. Steven, where are they going to check out that link?
Yeah, buddy. It's Dow Vineyards, D-A-O-U, vineyards.com. / don't make me come back there.
All right, everybody, enjoy this episode. Hey, everybody, welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me is nobody. Steven English, co-host, producer, also a stand-up comedian, is not alongside me. Ladies and gentlemen, today is a first, and hopefully a last, that I'm doing this intro without Steven English. It just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel right to not have someone next to me that I pay to produce / laugh at my jokes on this podcast. But guys, my road schedule has been intense, very, very busy lately, and I've been gone a lot, and I've been unable to record an intro with Steve for this week's episode. So my apologies, really. My apologies to you, the fans. My apologies to Steven. My apologies. I just feel that I've let me and my city and my country and my God down. And so I apologize to all of that. But regardless, thank you guys for tuning in to our little podcast that could. I promise to be back with Steven next week and to not make it a habit of doing these things. But regardless, we have a fantastic episode for you today. Today on our episode is comedian Andrew Stanley. Andrew Stanley is a very funny stand-up comedian who, you know, it's interesting how sometimes in comedy you just kind of, you meet some guys and you hear about some other folks and you just, sometimes you connect with them and sometimes you don't. And Andrew is one of those guys that we run in similar circles. We knew each other, we just kind of knew of each other, but we had never met until one fateful day we met in the Atlanta airport, which he pretty much lives at. He's an Atlanta-based comedian, and I know he spends a lot of time there at Hartsfield Jackson, and I certainly connect and through there a lot as a fellow Delta Diamond Medallion member. Big flex here. Sorry, I don't have Steven to keep me humble. We went and hung out a little bit there. And then finally, we had a chance to do some shows together. He came out and opened for me at Zany's in Nashville and the Improv in Raleigh. For those of you guys that made it to those shows, thank you for doing so. Those were both amazing shows a couple weeks ago. And part so good because he was there. So we went from not knowing each other at all to getting in a car and driving from 8 hours through the Smoky Mountains from Nashville to Raleigh, and had a good time connecting and had a good time doing this podcast. Andrew is, we talked a lot about being a pastor's kid, and he's not just a pastor's kid. I mean, if you run in church circles all, you've probably heard of his dad, Andy Stanley. You know, he comes from a big pastor family. His grandpa's a big pastor. So we talk a lot about being a pastor kid, or PK as they call him. We talk a lot about his switch to public school that he did in his in high school. We talk about how his family is pretty close and how everybody tends to get along. We also talk about him being the oldest of the siblings. We talk a little youth group and all kinds of fun stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode with Andrew. I really enjoy getting to know him, and I enjoy doing this podcast. We recorded this from a Courtyard Inn and Suites in Cary, North Carolina. He came to my room. You guys are our list of random venues that we continue to perform in or record these things in. Comedy condos and cars and So many hotel rooms, and one day we'll get a studio. And it, you know what? If we had a studio, we would never use it. Isn't that right, Steven? Oh, man, I forgot you weren't here. I feel like I'm missing a twin that's attached to me. And I mean twin in a sense that we look nothing alike, or we don't have very similar personalities. Just once a week we get together and we seem to get along. So if you guys want to give Andrew Stanley a follow on Instagram, you can follow him on Andrew W. Stanley. And then on Twitter, he is Andrew W. Stanley as well. So go check him out and enjoy this episode that we did with him. I'm recording this current intro from Portland, Oregon. I have been on a run of shows. I've been on the road too much. And by the road, I mean the actual road. I've been driving too much. Drove from Nashville to Raleigh. That was like 8 hours. I drove from Raleigh to Atlanta. That was like another 8 hours. Flew from Atlanta to Washington State. That chill little trip. Drove from Tacoma to Spokane, 5.5. Spokane to Portland, that was like six hours that we did. And now I'm in my hotel recording this, ready to pass out and take an early flight home and go be with my wife and kids for a little bit before I hit the road again. But such is life. These things, you know, you get busy with these things. But it's been, for those of you guys who maybe are joining us for the first time, because you saw me traveling with Charlie, thank you for coming out to those shows at the Tacoma Comedy Club, the Spokane Comedy Club, and Helium Comedy Club in Portland. Was unbelievable, so much fun. Appreciate you guys all coming out to those shows, and thank you to Charlie for doing my podcast as well. He's got an episode coming out. So speaking of shows, I got a couple headlining shows that I would love to let you guys know about, that as well as a new one just added. Upcoming headlining dates that I have, you can check me out at Wise Guys Comedy Club in West Jordan, Utah. That's April 3rd through 4th. You can catch me in Comedy Works at Comedy Works South in Denver, Colorado on April 5th. And then before, you know, if we're going to go pure chronologically here, actually, I'm going to be headlining the Hollywood Improv Lab, the side room, on April 8th in L.A. So L.A., that's my first time headlining in L.A. at like a, you know, in a big one that we're actually going to promote and such. So come out to that. That's a small room that seats like 55, 60, something like that. So if you were in the LA area, come out to that show. It's going to be a headlining show. Stephen English, who is not on this episode, but will be hosting that show. And then another front seater, Zoltan Cassis, is going to be featuring. And then I'm going to be headlining. Check that out, guys. That's going to be a fun one. The following week, I'm going to be at the headlining the Improv in Ontario, California on April 16th. Seven shows in Tacoma, May 14th through 17th, Tacoma Comedy Club. And May 22nd, the Old Church in Portland, Oregon. May 24th, Starline Social Club in Oakland, California. And April 17th through 18th, the Comedy Loft in Washington, D.C. We also have upcoming dates that are not on sale yet. Will be on sale. We have upcoming dates in Oklahoma City, Sacramento, Detroit. I think that's it. There might be more. Oh, Appleton. We're going back to Appleton over New Year's. Wisconsin. You know, all the big spots. So, you know, go get tickets at dustinnickerson.com/shows. And if you guys want to come out to some live shows. I wanted to tell you guys one quick story before we got into this. Guys, we need more questions on some parenting advice, so Steve and I can continue to give bit bad parenting advice. I think you guys all universally agreed that you should put your jeans in the freezer. That's not true, but Steven is not here to defend his side of the argument, so that's settled. Keep sending us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com and shoot us voicemails. I'm not going to sing it. It sounds wrong to sing it without Steven. So 619-292-8787. I sang it a little bit just because that's what the people want. tell us, you know, what questions you got, what bad parenting advice you need, bad marriage advice that you have, anything that's going on in your life issue. Maybe you got some issues with the in-laws. Maybe you got a bad Valentine's Day story to tell. I don't know what's going on in your life, but come share it with us. I want to tell you guys a quick story. So recently, we had to return a pair of shoes for our youngest daughter, Claire. Claire is the baby of our family, both in age and emotion. She really lives up to being the youngest of the family in every sense of the word. And someone in her school got her a sweet new pair of Vans for her birthday, which is super sweet. And they were the wrong size, though, so we had to return them. And we had to return them at Nordstrom. Okay, so my family, we're not a Nordstrom family. We maybe we'll do Nordstrom Rack if there's like a wedding coming up. But we're not regular shopping at the Rack or the regular Nordstrom. And so we got to go into there. And it's a pain. The Nordstrom in San Diego is not easy to get in and out of. We get there, we're returning the shoe. And as we're there, the shoe salesman very kindly offers my daughter a balloon. Claire is 6 years old, and she says she does not want the balloon, which startles the salesperson. This is a six-year-old child. She's with her mom and dad. She's going to have some Auntie Anne's. This is the day of her life. This is as good as it gets. Why would she not want a balloon? And she told her, and she told us, that she doesn't want a balloon because she hates when they pop. And I have never related to any of my children's negative, pessimistic outlook more. I looked at her and I knew she was mine. I know from the DNA and just from the proof, and she looks a lot like me and she looks a whole lot like my wife. I knew she was probably mine. All signs pointed me to mine. But when this little girl turned down a balloon because she hates that the balloon ends... I've never loved her more. I mean, I can't think of a better metaphor for life is that you don't want the balloon because the balloon is going to pop. Oh, little bear, I love you so much, and I'm excited to come home and pick you up from school when you get out tomorrow. So a little bit shorter intro this week, guys, because I don't have Steven here, getting us off on side tangents. But again, enjoy this episode with Andrew Stanley. Thank you guys so much for being backseaters. It really does mean the world to us. Oh, actually, I do have a new review to read you guys. If you guys haven't given us reviews, please do so. That really, really genuinely does help us. And honestly, even more than that, the reviews... Just part of the reason this little podcast is doing the way that it is doing as well as it is you guys just keep telling friends. If you have time this week to share this podcast with your friends, we'd sure love that. And oh man, would we sure love that. This is a five-star podcast that we got. This is from Ash Biskey, something like that. I've been wanting to give this show a five-star rating for months now, and I couldn't figure out how to do it on my Android. Hilarious. I decided to give up trying to review on my daughter's iPhone. We aren't smart like Dustin, and I gave her a phone too early. Whoops. Anyway, I look forward to this podcast every week. Dustin and Steven are hilarious and so lighthearted. Aw, Steven's not here with me. No matter how stressful my week is, it's nice to turn this on and know it's going to make me smile. I also married young and had three kids, so all the humor about parenting is so relatable. I also saw Dustin live at Zany's. Thanks. Last night, there we go, and had my mother and I crying with laughter. Keep up the great work. Please don't freeze your nipples, Dustin. A loyal backseater, Ashley. Thank you, Ashley, so much for being a backseater. Thank you to all you backseaters for listening to the podcast. Will you blow us away? We love you guys so much. With that said, enjoy this episode with Andrew. Thanks, guys. Right before we started, I was trying to think. This is a little bit of the War of the Worlds because I'm a Marriott guy. You're a Hilton guy.
Yeah.
Normally, I do whatever I can to make our guests feel comfortable. But I was wondering what amount of... There's no way you would know this, but I was just pondering. I wonder how many of these I've done while getting Marriott points.
You're simultaneously earning points.
I've done quite a few of these because we just... But you're a Hilton guy. Are you very familiar with the different Hilton? There's the Hilton Garden Inn.
I do a lot of Hilton Garden Inns.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Because that's the entry level, right? Or like it's a little nicer. What's lower? What do they own? Oh, Hampton Inn. Those are
Hampton Inns. Are hit or miss.
That's their belief. But under Hilton, they have below the Hilton Garden Inn is the Hampton Inn. And do they have anything trashier than that?
You know, I really don't know. I don't pay as close attention to this stuff as you do. I'm impressed with this hotel room because the shower doesn't have a door. And I'll tell you, all the Hiltons have doors on the showers, and or curtains at least.
Yeah, well, once
this
you,
one just has a big opening.
The more stars, the less doors.
The heat just leaves the shower.
It is. It's very. And then they do that. They, I don't know if you noticed that the handle to make the like to make it warmer or whatever you call it is not
warmer.
Not,
I think is right.
Yeah, is not near the water itself.
You gotta really take your whole shoulder outside the warmth of the water if you want to adjust anything.
Well, that's just a little context that we're staying in the same hotel room because our respective careers are that on fire.
We are cuddled up right now.
Mm-hmm. On the love seat.
Yep, we got a nice view of the Target and Mattress Firm.
Mm-hmm.
Outside the window.
I believe there's a golf galaxy.
I mean, this hotel, this is the side of the hotel you want to be on.
No, it's the like the equivalent of the pool view or the city view.
We got a great view of the Target parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's pretty peaceful to watch the speckling of cars. You know, there's one guy leaving. I don't know why he was here so late.
I probably worked here, right? No?
Could be an employee.
Well, this is so for context, everybody, we're recording this in a Courier Marriott in not Raleigh, Cary.
We're in Cary,
North Carolina. Yep. We just finished C-A-R-Y. Up a show at the they call it the Raleigh Improv, but the locals
they're pretty upset
they're
about
pretty
it apparently.
Upset about. And we are beat. We are very tired because we did Zany's Nashville last night, and we drove for 8 hours today. We did two stops. We could have done one.
Yeah, we did not need to stop that much. We're not drinking enough water, probably. Yeah.
Both of us are going near fainting.
We are very dehydrated, but we got here so fast.
And I could tell, like, I don't know if you felt this in the drive, but that this is how committed we are to comedy and that... We were talking, but every time that I felt like us get like a little deeper, like particularly on family stuff, I was like, let's save that.
Save it for the pie. It's a lot of pressure to spend 8 hours together.
Yeah.
And then be like, let's do 1 hour for everyone after.
And whatever.
This is a best of from our drive together.
So remember when you told me that earlier as we drove through the Smoky Mountains?
We covered everything.
That which were very scenic today.
We had a good time. Yeah.
The
a romantic day.
It was really, really nice. Now we're back in the hotel and I don't know what the math is, but I don't know what the percentage increase is. But before this, you and I had spent a total of 5 minutes together in the B terminal of Atlanta Hartford, which is your home away from
yeah,
home.
Yeah, I forget what it was. Did one of us have it on our stories? And then how did we... Did you see
I
me?
I just saw you.
You just saw me?
I just saw you.
That's great. And we like, never met in person.
Taller than I realized.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what people say. I seem very small. If you haven't met me in person, if you just listen to this, you're probably like, that guy's really small.
Somebody said to me after off stage tonight, and he goes, you seemed shorter on stage. Which is the opposite of what you would presume. I was like,
not what a stage is. Stage is the opposite of that. Yeah. What a weird thing to say to a stranger, even any direction. If you're commenting on you seem anything than what I thought you were.
The best thing that I heard in the line tonight, though, was, hey, that guy before you, was that Andy effing Stanley's kid?
Yeah. Did they really say
he did, yeah.
Yeah.
And he'll
my dad's got...
he didn't say effing.
He did.
No.
Yeah, he went all the way there. Yeah, that sounds about right. We're non-denominational.
What were you going to say about your dad, though? Your dad?
Yeah, he really goes for those unchurched.
Yeah. You know? Trying to be irresistible.
He's not really changing them that much, apparently, but they are aware of him, so...
I mean, that has to be, you know, everybody has like shadows in some way that are casted, but that's a very unique, specific one to not just be like a pastor's kid. Cause that's a guy who was like, oh man, cause he was putting together an Andy Stanley. And then he goes, I used to hear stories about like, I would listen to his dad's messages and he would talk about his kids. Now I want to go back and listen to them and know which ones were about Andrew. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't.
That's why I have so many jokes about my dad.
Yeah.
To get back at him for all the stories he used to tell about me in sermons. It's really why I started this. It's a rebuttal.
What is that like when your dad's up there? You're like, especially when you know he's embellishing. right?
Yeah. He was really good about asking us, but we were, you know, we were young enough to be like, why would we ever say no? And then you hear the stories later and you're like, oh, we should have said no about that one. But no, he was good. I think that I don't remember too many of the ones from when we were little, but every once in a while, people would be like, I read your dad's book and I learned a lot about you. And I'm like, I guess I should read that book. If I'm in it, I should probably read at least that part of it. Because when I was in high school, he wrote a book called, I'm just going to plug my dad's book real
Please
quick.
Please do,
that's cool.
Yeah.
He wrote a book called The New Rules for Love, Sex, and Dating.
Oh.
When I was about a freshman in high school.
Thanks, Pops.
Yeah, thanks for holding on to this one until I was going through puberty. And it's a quick read. You know, there's not a lot of new rules.
Yeah, it's you open it up, it just says no.
Yeah, it's just like no. Every page just says no, period, no, period, no.
Everything
period.
Is just like a, like, it looks like it was like some like sexual positions book, but they're all just X'd out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the Kama Sutra, only X's
yeah,
over.
It's just a Christian version. It's just anti. Yeah, yeah.
The Christian Sutra. It's just,
yeah, he pretty much plagiarized the Kama Sutra and just put in the big X's in the do nots.
Except they're crosses. It's
their crosses. The yeah, yeah, yeah. We rotated. He has that in. He's pretty good on the computer. He can rotate some stuff.
On the computer.
So, yeah.
Your desk. He can rotate a JPEG.
He can do a PowerPoint. You put an image in PowerPoint and rotate it.
Oh, yeah. Does he get... Oh, that's a different question altogether. But at what level do you... you know, we talk about like wanting to get up to headline and you promote. And
yeah.
I think I wanted at a certain point, you get to... Someone else has to make your PowerPoint. That's probably a big flex for a pastor.
Well, he does the thing now where he brings the little rollout TV screen on stage. I don't think that he types those
super
up
hip,
these days.
Super cool.
Yeah.
So he wrote that book while you were in high school.
Yeah, I can remember we did a Panama City Beach camp, like most Southeastern churches.
Oh, I was gonna say, yeah, we don't know that one. Yeah.
And so he'd go stay in some condos with the whole youth ministry.
Right.
And my dad was a speaker my freshman year, and he did the sex talk as I was sitting next to all the girls that I wanted to like me. And they just got, you know, I've never been so uncomfortable in my life.
Yeah.
And then I think the book came out soon after that.
Yeah.
And I was just like, can you just wait till I am out of here?
We have multiple siblings. Why did it have to be right now?
Yeah. Yeah. But that book's helped a lot of people, I guess. Not me, but a lot of other people have really enjoyed it. So
this is, you get to chapter 3. Listen, for example, my son Andrew right now.
Yeah.
A lot of...
really lusting a lot. Right. And
so much lusting.
You would not believe this kid. I get a report from from Safe Eyes.
This guy's Covenant Eyes. Good program.
Yeah, I get the report. It's rough. There he is. He's right there. Andrew, stand up. Stand up.
Right there. Yeah. No. Why are you sweating? Why? Yeah, for so many reasons you're sweating.
Your friends are so cute. What's the problem?
It's so funny when I think about, like, because I didn't really go to church kind of like late middle school or high school. And then I remember I can be like, why are we always talking? Like, it was the only issue. Like, that was the thing. That's the thing with purity culture.
Yeah.
Is it's like, hey, it's really the only sin.
Well, at that time in your life, it's the only one that you think about. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it is, but it shouldn't be, because like it's
maybe it's because it just gets brought up so much.
That's what I'm
but
saying.
Also
like
the hormones,
like in church like settings, they're not like, hey man, how's your cheating on your test going? Or
yeah, nobody cares.
Were you an a-hole to your parents? Or did you punch your little sibling today? Like, there's so many other things, like
that will, you know, will stick with you longer.
Yeah,
like,
remember when you and your friends made fun of the special needs kid today? Oh, yeah, but...
But as long as you didn't touch yourself.
Yeah, exactly, but Allison's jeans were pretty tight today, and that got your attention. You're like, that's hardly even my fault.
It's like,
it's not her fault. It's just some biology going here.
It's just a thing that's going to happen, and just don't be weird. Yeah, youth groups should just be like, just try not to be weird about the stuff you think about.
Yeah, I remember, I mean, my buddy's old team, we were talking about once with like, we were talking about like middle school is this really weird age where, or middle school is a weird phenomenon because you are saying you're too big and like old to be around children anymore.
Yeah.
You can't be in elementary school.
Yep.
Because if you look at like a fifth or sixth grade in elementary school and they're going to the same school as like kindergartners, like you don't belong here.
Yeah, it's
It feels awkward and inappropriate.
You don't know why, but it's not right.
It's not right, you know, because like a kindergartner is adorable, and then you have this other thing, and then you're also like, but you cannot be around, because a high schooler, the idea of most high schoolers are done with puberty by the time they hit high school.
Yeah, most are. I was not, but well, like, it must have been nice.
You're a late bloomer.
Late bloomer.
Yeah.
And yeah, not great.
So the middle school is essentially just saying like, go be weird together. Like, it's like a holding.
Yeah, I'll just figure this out until until everything balances out.
Whatever has happened in your life, I guarantee middle school was the worst few years of your life. And you were in homeschool. Like,
but I was in homeschool during that. But yeah.
But when did you make the transition to public? Or was it
ninth grade?
It's so fun. I've talked to so many homeschoolers that parents are like, now's the time. Really?
Yeah, it was the right time for me because all my friends, like from church and stuff, we're all going to the same public school.
Okay.
And so it's not like I went in and was just like, oh, who's here? It was like, I had at least like five people that like were looking out for me.
I bet that was a lot of pressure on that first day outfit.
Yeah, I wish I remembered what I chose. I'm sure, I know that my friends talked me out of bringing my rolling backpack that I had been using until that point. They were like, dude, listen, we're your friends, but if you bring that rolling backpack on the first day of ninth grade, we can't be around you. And then they were like, what's your second backpack? And it was one that had like one strap.
Yeah.
That just went diagonal across your chest. And they were like, we're going to need to go to like Office Max or something.
It's so cheap. It's so cheap to get book bags.
We just need to get you a JanSport.
Yeah.
You don't need any extra reasons to stand out.
Yeah. When you landed, was it one strap or two strap when you were in high school? The look.
Oh, two straps.
You were two straps, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you would at least have two.
Well, yeah, you had the option, but would you wear both? Because my generation was the one strap, but or two straps, you only wear one.
I'm the kind of person that wasn't even aware of that decision. but I'm sure it was a thing. I was so base level trying to figure out the main stuff that details like that were not a part of my thoughts.
Is it like the walking into the mage? Do you remember the first day? Or do you remember like the first week or year? Well, how do you look back on it?
I remember being like, all right, this is it. I'm going to real school. I've never had a girlfriend. I need to get a girlfriend. Like, that's got to be, all my friends that go to school have had girlfriends.
Yeah, this is the number one priority.
And so I remember the first week, I was like, all right, I went to a big high school. I graduated with like 630.
This is in Atlanta, like, or Atlanta proper?
This is like Alpharetta, it's the suburbs. Okay. It's like about 35, 45 minutes outside.
So big
outside.
High school.
Big high school.
Way bigger than the school you were at before that.
Yeah, about 5,000 kids at my 5, high school.
5,000?
Or no, sorry, 3,000. Yeah,
it's 3,000. Massive.
Yeah, not that big of a difference.
But
it was
in the thousands.
Yeah, we're about 3,000, I think, at a time. And I remember I couldn't figure out who my girlfriend should be, so I just asked my neighbor. We were born.
She was there all along.
I had met her a couple of times around the neighborhood, and she was a longtime public schooler. And we were born on the same day. Same year. So I was like, adorable. That could be a cool story for our grandkids that I'm sure we'll have one day.
In the next 3 to 5 years.
And I remember I found out where her locker was, and I just like went after school, and I was like, hey, and she was like, hey, and I was like, you just want to be my girlfriend? And she was like, okay. I think I made it uncomfortable enough for her that she had to say yes with just a plan to get out of it later. It was just easier to say yes now. And then about a week after that, she let me know that that freshman cheerleading was taking up a lot of her time.
Mm.
And she just didn't have time to be in
the
type of relationship
she's like 15 saying this.
Yeah, so we just went to such a big school.
A late bloomer. That's a very mature.
She was not. That was one of the things I liked about her. actually. But she, it was such a big school. We had varsity cheerleading, junior varsity cheerleading, and then freshman cheerleading.
Wow.
So it was like three levels. So she was in the freshman, but it was still a lot of commitment. She didn't have time for a serious relationship. So
she's trying to make JV by next
still,
year.
We still text each other happy birthday every year on our birthdays. Adorable. So we're still, we could work out still.
Yeah.
And they moved. They're not in the neighborhood anymore, so we don't have that many. We're not going to run into each other.
Did she also go to your church? She's like,
I think they were Catholic.
Was there? Okay.
That would have been an obstacle later.
Yeah,
but we never made it.
Yeah, you weren't anywhere.
We never
near
discussed
that.
It.
Because it's got to be. I mean, you kind of had to have being, you know, the PK at the celebrity pastor's church. You kind of had to have your pick of the litter, right?
I did learn later. I learned that if I asked out girls that went to our church, their parents would at least make them go on the first
their date. Parents would.
Yeah, because their parents are like, that's, you know, that's the preacher's kid. You can't.
Yeah.
You got to at least go.
Yeah. And, or they're going to like accidentally like share our tithing records.
Yeah, they
or
have
something.
A lot of information about us. Yeah. And
we've gone to therapy. I don't want our counseling sessions to end up in the annual report.
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely weird. I don't think I really understood. I just thought my dad was a dad who was a pastor. I didn't realize that he was like a really big pastor until I was probably like late into high school. I was like, oh, I think people know him outside of here.
Some random Thursday in Raleigh.
Yeah.
Is that Andy and Stanley?
Yeah, who would have thought one day I'd be at the Raleigh Improv and people would be using the F word to describe my family.
I think it's hilarious, too, that, I mean, it is, particularly in, like, Christian circles, because, again, he's not, like, we've had pastor's kids and stuff on here before.
Oh.
But, you know, like, well, you know, PKs are a thing, but you're, it's not.
It's not that unique.
It isn't that unique.
There's like, a lot of us. A lot of us become comedians.
Well, a lot of pastors have a lot of kids, too. So.
Yeah, they got one of everything.
Yeah, because how many siblings do you have?
Just two.
Just two.
Yeah, below average for a preacher family.
I was going to say, because it's above the national average, but it's, you know.
Is it two and a half?
It's like two and some change, yeah.
Yeah. It's weird to measure kids with decimals.
We always wanted four. I think I told you this yesterday. We wanted four. Melissa wanted four, and then we had the third, and she had not finished breastfeeding our youngest before she scheduled my vasectomy. She was like, you need to get on the table.
Yeah, she was texting the vasectomy place while she was breastfeeding.
He's like, we're here, right? I mean, it's right down. We're already in a Kaiser
Permanente.
We love
our baby, but...
Yeah, but we want no more.
We are ready to be done.
So what's the age breakdown and gap of the siblings? Where are you at in that?
We're all about a year and a half apart.
Are you the youngest?
I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
Yeah, me, then my brother, then my sister, Garrett. My brother's married. My sister's getting married next month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I'm in last. You know, if you come in last, it doesn't matter how far.
Yeah, so take your time.
Got plenty of time last no matter what.
Well, how long have you and your girlfriend been together?
Year and a half. Or almost 2 years in April, actually. We're coming up.
Pretty much married at that point.
Yeah, in the Christian world,
I
we
think
are
if
considered
you hit, if you hit two and a half,
betrothed.
I think it's a sin.
It's over. Yeah, yeah. We're living in sin regardless.
Unless you're in high school like me and my wife. Then you're like, we can't get married. I'm sorry.
There's a calculation, I'm sure, that's based on how after high school it is and how long you've been together and whether it's in sin or not.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's always funny when you see like Christian.
I think that's in New Rules for Love, Sex, and Dating, actually. He outlines it, what's appropriate, what's not.
I wish we had it here right now. I would love to.
I'm glad we don't.
Yeah. I'm was that before or after I kissed dating goodbye? Because that was the big one when I was.
It was definitely after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one's the guy like came back and was like, this is wrong, right?
Yeah. Joshua Harris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joshua Harris came back like, this is wrong. Just kidding. Also, I'm not really a Christian anymore.
Yeah. Sorry I ruined your adolescence. Figure it out, dude.
Yeah. I remember being in that, reading that book, and I was like high school, and it was like when I could have started hanging around some church circles, and I was like, nah.
Yeah. I think I'll skip this one.
Yeah.
Is there an audio book I can do?
Yeah. I'm going to find a girl in church, but a girl who agrees with my stance of nah.
Yeah. I need to find a nah girl.
Yeah, yeah. We have three kids now, so.
We didn't do... I never read that. I didn't even really know about that book until I heard that it was canceled or whatever.
That's funny.
We did... my dad, because we were homeschooled, didn't have any like health classes or anything. It was all with my parents, and we did Every Man's Battle. That was popular.
Yeah. I was after that. I remember Every Man's Battle and then Wild at Heart before that.
I did Wild at Heart in high school.
Yeah. That was like, men love swords. And I remember feeling very...
wrestle in the dirt like Jesus. Like,
I remember feeling very emasculated. That's like one of the most annoying things about like church culture to me is like the most like the over-the-top masculine stuff. And I was like, I'm not really, it's not really my thing. I feel like I'm a dude. I feel like I like... I like my wife and I do some dude stuff. I like some sports and stuff, but wrestling, real dumb. I don't like knives. I don't like guns. It's not my thing, man. But
yeah, I don't want to go like wrestle steers.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like, I'm a Christian.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't get the connection.
Build guns from the animals that you killed with an arrow. What? That doesn't mean...
It's the only way.
It's the only way. To the Father. Just like Jesus.
Just like Jesus used to wrestle wild animals. I don't think that's in there. I remember one time that during every young man's battle, I think we did it like before I was, because I was a late bloomer, so we did it like before I was, I didn't have like a bunch of questions yet.
Yeah.
But I remember later being in the car with my dad. I was like, Dad, I have a question. He was like excited because I had a question. I didn't have a lot of questions when we were going through it. And I was like, I said, does the F word mean sex?
Yeah.
Because I've heard it in some songs.
Yeah.
And he's just real quiet for a minute. Now I think I'm sitting in the back and he's sitting in the front and he just goes, no. And I still don't know if he lied or he was like unsure, but surely he just lied to me.
And he didn't even know you were asking about fornicate. You were
Yeah, exactly. I meant fornicate. Yeah. Because I was like, I think I heard this in a Green Day song. And it's contextually, it seems like they might mean that the F word means sex, but
contextually,
it seems like people just yell it all the time for no reason. So, like, is it.
My hermeneutics of this song.
Yeah.
Breakdown.
I had to tell my dad for a while, he thought the Boulevard of Broken Dreams was like on his playlist.
Yeah.
And that has like a sneaky F word in it.
Where does the...
I can't remember now. He goes, what's effed up?
Oh, yeah, but what's effed up? Yeah.
And I was like, Dad, you know the song has an F word in it? And he was like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, slow it down. He was like, oh. Guess I gotta stop listening to that one. And I was like, have you used it in a sermon? He was like, no. I was like, I think we're good.
Yeah, that's like one of the, I was like in church stuff for a while and I just got so tired of having to like think like that and being like professionally Christian, you know.
It's weird. Yeah. It's an odd.
Did you feel a pressure of that then as the pastor's kid? Like it seems like you were like a fairly mild mannered, pretty good natured kid.
Yeah, I was wired for it. I think it seems like preacher's kids a lot of times either really lean into it or run away from it.
Yeah,
and I was definitely more of a lean into it.
Right. Were both your siblings too?
My sister definitely. My brother was a little more rebellious.
Yeah.
And
but like real rebellious or just in comparison?
Somewhere in between those like two things, probably.
Did he go to a different church?
He was not going to like a different church.
Yeah.
But he would, his friends, he would tell you this, he had friends that were, he didn't choose his friends very wisely in high school. And so he just got pulled into this, but it got rectified quickly.
Oh, there you go.
It's so funny, especially when your dad is a pastor, like, the community keeps an eye on you for them.
Right.
And if any of us did anything, my dad would hear about it from someone. There were eyes everywhere, you know. It was like, oh, just so you know, I'm not trying to get him in trouble, but mm-hmm. I saw someone doing this. It was just like, yeah. So you had extreme accountability in the community. But yeah, I definitely leaned into it. I remember I wouldn't even get invited. I wouldn't even know about the parties I didn't get invited to.
And did you not get invited both because you're like new and also because like they're like, yeah, we're not gonna, Stanley's not gonna come?
Yeah, both.
Because there were probably kids at those parties that also went to your church.
Probably, yeah.
That didn't want the PK to be there to rat.
Yeah, we were at the church where you could go to church and probably party, and it not, you know, took longer for people to piece it together.
Yeah.
You know, you could be the numbers are bigger. It's harder to focus on
the
individual.
Yeah, they're like, listen, we're at one of the satellite campuses. I mean, we barely even go here. That's funny to me that you said that earlier, that you don't go to the one your dad's live at.
I go to the one closer to my house in Buckhead, yeah, and he's there live sometimes, and I'm like, oh, my dad's actually here.
Yeah.
Get a free lunch.
Now, you and your siblings, so you're the oldest, did it. Yeah. That makes sense to me, because I was thinking about, you know, like, oh, man, the comedian, oldest kid, I don't know how much that checks out, but you started off down a very different path. You said you got a degree in finance, you were accounting, you went to Auburn, you were kind of doing the oldest kid first thing, right?
Yeah, I was like, being very safe and responsible.
Yeah,
for sure. And part of it was I graduated from high school and just like had no idea still what I wanted to do,
right,
or what. And so I went to Auburn and I got a finance degree because I thought that was broad enough to do
sure
a bunch of stuff, and I'm like, I'll figure it out in the next 4 years. And
mm-hmm.
then kind of didn't, and had done some internships, so got some job opportunities.
Did you took a corporate do a dorm? Job. Did you frat? Where'd you live in?
I did. I was too late deciding where I wanted to go to college to get in the dorms, because in Auburn they didn't have enough dorms for all the freshmen. So I was in an apartment with a guy that I knew from being homeschooled together.
Hey.
And then we joined a fraternity that was like the Christian.
Yeah.
It wasn't technically a Christian fraternity, but it basically was like you weren't allowed to drink alcohol at the house.
Mm.
So I was like, what is the point of this again? But at the time, I was a freshman, I didn't drink it really at all, or I did not drink at all in high school. So I was like, this is great. They're not going to make me drink and stuff. And
right.
Then you turn 21.
Yeah.
And you're like, I think I should be able to drink at this house I live in if I want to. I should be able to. And so what ended up happening is there was just a property next to the house that was vacant. And people would just have to go stand in the lawn of this empty property and drink.
I'm not on property.
And then come back. It was just very technical. And
yeah.
It was great. Some of my best friends in the world are from that. So I love that I did it. But it was very weird.
Yeah, we had a show. I think this is probably okay. We had a show like earlier this year where it was at a church and there were a few of us, and it like kind of been like a long run, and we're like, man, we shouldn't drink on the church property. That's like generally frowned upon.
Fair.
And so we went and we grabbed some, and then we walked out into a field.
Yeah, just walking into a field?
Yeah, that was next year. Like, I'm off the property. Yeah. This is fine. I think this is totally fine.
I always felt
it felt right, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've always felt my whole life like I was like a stage behind in terms of what was like I didn't smoke a cigar until I graduated from high school.
Right.
Whereas all my friends in high school, or a lot of them, were smoking weed.
Right.
And I didn't drink until I was 21, whereas like all my friends were drinking in like high school and early in college. And I've always felt behind in like that stuff. And it's funny that like, you know, my job is in a place where people are getting drunk.
Yeah. Yeah. We were kind of talking about that earlier. Like, if you're like a guy who's like trying to in recovery, and a lot of our peers are, you're like, man, I feel for you.
Yeah.
You know, I really do, because this is not an easy environment, because someone's like,
you're
hey,
just around
you like,
it all the time.
Would you like your vice for free? I'll bring it to you.
In fact, it's the only thing we'll give you for free.
And it's actually, it's actually all that you're getting paid in.
Yeah. This is it. This or nothing.
Yeah. My first paid gig ever was $20 in a beer. And I was like, I've made it.
Yeah. This is it. I could live on this.
I bombed, but I was so happy. I was like, I could live on this.
You spend the $20 on the second two beers.
Exactly. I'm the winner tonight.
Actually, it got paid in three beers.
Doesn't feel like. So you kind of strayed away from the, I wonder, like, one of the things that we talk sometimes on this, and I think it's in part because my wife, Melissa, like, always is like so fascinated, like, with birth order, you know, of just like people, because you were on the path of the classic oldest kid.
Right.
And you were doing, now, do you have like, and with your siblings, do you have like kind of that like oldest child, like responsible like type relationship with them, or not now because they got married and you do this?
Or
is it still there?
I think I still kind of do. Yeah. It's definitely different now that we're all like adults, so it's not like as needed.
That's true. But were you that way growing up? Were you like looking after them and...
A little bit.
Guys, let me tell you about high school.
Yeah,
I've been there for a week now.
Yeah, I got a girlfriend.
I got a girlfriend.
So my brother was like, had so many girlfriends before I had my first girlfriend.
Hilarious. Like, yeah. He was just killing it.
He was a little
high
player, yeah. He didn't need puberty to have a girlfriend. He went to, I think this is okay to say, he went to prom with John Smoltz's daughter.
Really?
And she was a good 2 feet taller than him at the time. And I hope he has those pictures still, because it was so
funny. That's a huge. Did he have to like?
She went on to play like college volleyball.
Did he have to go meet John Smoltz and everything?
Probably. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He went to the private school where my parents kicked us all out of homeschool the same year. So like I went into ninth grade, Garrett went into eighth grade, and Allie went into sixth grade.
Oh, interesting.
And they sent me to the public school, and they sent both of them to private school.
Why? Why all at the same time? They were just done.
I think my mom was just like, everybody out.
Everybody out.
Everybody
out.
Everybody was kind of ready at the same time, I think. We're just like, all right, I think we're good.
Was there part of you that was like, I like being at home, though?
Definitely.
Or you were fully ready?
I was just ready to be around my friends more and to be around the girls. And, you know, we did the co-op thing where you were around all the other homeschoolers and stuff.
Yeah.
But
So that's like once a month or once a week.
You kind of realize this isn't regular. This isn't a normal group.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with it, but also I think I can handle public school.
Sure. Yeah, there was nothing there. Yeah, you like at a certain point, you know, especially when you were growing up, like you've been exposed to stuff. Yeah,
at this point, what are you sheltering me from? Like, I know. Like,
if I have the internet, I know all of it.
Yeah, the internet comes around. It's like, well, the homeschool's not really keeping.
If anything, you need them to have less time in front of their computer.
The sin is inside the house, so we might as well.
They breached the barrier.
It's found its way in. Yeah, but no, overall it was a good experience. My mom, I think she added up all the extra hours she got to spend with us through homeschooling, and she like printed it out and put it on the wall in her closet, and she looks at it and like will tear up whenever she looks at it.
Oh, that's adorable.
And it was great. I think we're closer with my parents because of it, and
sure.
It was not a thing where now we resent them for it at all. I think they did everything in the exact right timing probably.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that I went to a real high school.
Sure, yeah. That would have been a totally different experience. Did you then remain, like, did your siblings, like, you guys were probably super close when you were all homeschooled.
Yeah, we were definitely around each other more.
Yeah, those are your classmates.
Yeah, we had our guest room now used to be the school room.
Yeah.
Where it was just a bunch of desks in the closet was my mom's office.
So she did the whole thing. She set up like a classroom?
Pretty much, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was like a bedroom that was just had desks and tables in it. And she would go
they
down.
They went and bought three real desks and the whole thing.
Yeah, like three desks.
Yeah, and would she just go to each desk and teach an individual lesson?
We all had a corner, yep.
Yeah.
And she would rotate around, and she'd go down and do laundry, and my brother and I would just be wrestling on the carpet until she came back up. And we were like, she'll never know. And
yeah.
If you've ever been downstairs in a house and heard two people wrestling upstairs, it's pretty tough not to notice the banging around. And we'd be like pouring sweat back in our seats when she came up.
Sorry, it's just a really like, intense equation.
She totally doesn't know. My mom was just feeling, I guess at least they're close enough to want to do this together.
That's like a very formal way to do it, though. Like that,
it was like rounds. So every time she came back up, it'd be like break.
Yes. Did you like how many like hours a day would you be in that room? Then I'm always like fascinated because like I've talked to like people who are like homeschool, more like no school. Like it's like
it was not that.
This sounds like, did you have to get dressed and showering for it and stuff?
That's
or no?
A good question. I don't think we had to get, like, dressed. I mean, we had to change out of our pajamas at least.
Okay. That's more than a lot. Did she change out of pajamas?
Yes.
Did she, like, do the whole thing?
I don't think I've ever seen my mom in her pajamas before.
Yeah, and you never will.
Yeah, that's not a thing she does. I don't think she sleeps, actually.
She sleeps kinda, in a dress. She just lays down for a half an hour.
Yeah. Gets up with a lesson plan.
And for three kids at three different grades.
Yeah. So I would be the test because I would be the first time at this grade. And by the time my sister was at fifth grade, she's like, I know all this stuff.
But
she'd be learning with me for a lot of it.
Sure. Yeah.
So I don't know. It's probably why I'm a comedian and they have like real jobs.
What do they do?
Actually, they don't really have real jobs. My brother is, for a while, he was selling workout equipment. He was like doing sales, and now he's in charge of an apparel company called Millennial.
Mm.
But it's not just for millennials, it's just called that.
Mm.
But it's cool. And he kind of is in charge of like a brand ambassador / starting this.
Oh, yeah. And thing. He's always wanted to talk social media with you. Is that what
he
said?
He's super good at social media stuff. Yeah. Because he also has a fitness Instagram account at GTrain4.
Okay.
Just plugging my family stuff. Yeah. He's like 25,000 followers and he like puts up workouts for people to do and they all like follow him and he has a good deal with that. So he has kind of like multiple streams of income. And then my sister's in seminary. So she wants to follow in the family business.
Okay.
So she's the one. People asked my brother and I growing up, you know, which one of you guys is going to be the pastor?
Right.
And my sister was just quietly in the back like, I'm the one that's going to do it. I'm the chosen one.
Is your denomination allowed to have lady pastors?
We're non-denominational.
Okay.
So no. I'm just kidding.
But is it your church?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. There's not a, you know, yeah.
Or are they
yes.
like?
The answer is yes.
Or are they like ministry leads?
There's not as many, but. Yeah. There definitely is not a rule against it.
Listen, that's awesome. That's
It's weird that that's like a conversation.
Yeah.
That's a serious conversation.
It's like a crazy one.
People are really serious about not letting women be pastors.
Yeah, yeah. They're
like, whoa. Yeah. I mean, they definitely shouldn't be comedians, but we should let them be.
But they can be pastors.
Yeah, they should at least be able to be pastors.
It is funny, like the, you know, because like I was in that world for a while, but it's like when you look back and it's like, it's so arbitrary. Like, the, it's just, it's a semantics thing because like, well, I mean, it's important that they're around so they can be deacons.
Just like, what?
Or they can be.
How are we so far behind culture that we're still talking
they
about?
They can't be pastors.
If women should be able to do anything, fill
they,
in the blank.
They can be ministers.
Yeah, they can be.
No, like, okay, well, they can't. Well, they can't get like the main title of like elder. That's a big one. You're like, all right.
Just
well,
like, can, why are you so? Why do you care so much about this?
It's those semantic things. You know, when you're working from the conclusion of when you're working from the basis that is the inerrant word of God.
Of course.
Then it's like, holy smokes! If I got this wrong, if that lady's a pastor and I'm okay with it, then we're all burning.
Yeah, Jesus comes back and he's like, welcome. What the? You let them do what? It's like, if that's what he's upset about, we are way past him being upset about women pastors.
Yeah, that's hysterical. There's absolutely, you what? It's I told like, you they could hold, they could do children's ministry and nothing else.
Yeah, that's it. They can do Sunday school. It's fine.
They're always think it's funny because the versions that we have of church and like, and I'll use your dad as an example. Like, what your dad is running as a church, there was no imagination of it in the first century.
Yeah, no. They were not dreaming about that, no.
So the idea.
They were like, there will be one speaker, but he will somehow be in multiple cities.
Yeah, what?
Yeah, you will stream him from your palm.
Yeah.
And
that would be what you were describing would be more miraculous than anything Jesus
pulled
off. Any
of the miracles, they would be like, all right, yeah, we'll believe it when we see that. The loaves and the fish are great, but if you can preach to me from miles away.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to bounce it off a satellite in space.
Yeah.
Like, what are you even talking about?
Which they don't know.
What do you even know about? First off, the earth is flat.
Yeah, first of all, what are yeah, they didn't even know that it ended. They weren't even at flat yet, I don't think.
They're like, listen, like I'm 32, I'm at the end of my life, and so I can't even foresee.
Yeah. We don't live long enough to even wonder about it.
I think one of my favorite things about being a comedian is just like we get like, we were talking about this earlier, just a license to think lightly about things.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of our job. Like, I remember like, you know, the teetotalers to me is like one of the funniest ones because like, you know, I grew up in non-church settings and, you know, depending who you ask, I'm either the most religious person they've ever met or I'm like a fallen prodigal son.
Yeah, that's how you should have both of those people in your life.
Exactly. I think it's good. It means everybody hates you.
Yeah. And, but still talks to you.
Exactly. And still talks bad about you.
Yeah, no one admires you, but
dude,
they know you.
Freak. But I remember the first time that I heard the teetotaler position and the idea that like drinking was no good. And you're like, well, first off, like, well, what they were using the wine for was totally different, and it was like more like because they didn't have good water. And you're like, I'm pretty sure Noah got pretty hammered on the stuff he was drinking.
Yeah, the son had to cover him up with a blanket, right?
The old,
like, I've never drank that much.
I've never related, my family has never related more to a story ever than got drunk and passed out naked.
They're covering you up a lot.
And I was like, this is about me. Not me and my kids. I'm just saying,
really,
like, this is
Noah.
A Nickerson story. This is Noah Nickerson. This sounds like a home.
Like,
this
definitely this can sounds, trace me back to Noah.
This sounds like every Thanksgiving we have on odd years.
You correct yourself for 1 year. You're like, see, I did pretty good.
We cleaned up.
All right, we're going to give you a little more leash next year. We're going to let you be alone in the pantry for a few minutes this year.
It's 2005. But we get to we have permission to think like lighthearted about those things.
Yeah, serious things. And we were talking about the Jim Jeffries gun control bit.
It's the best bit ever. Yeah.
And he's talking about something that people are so passionate about. But he's doing it in such a funny way that whether you agree with him or not, you'll finish watching his bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's the only way to get people who totally disagree with you to hear you out sometimes.
Yes.
And it's so powerful when comedians that are as skilled as he is can harness their comedy.
Yeah.
And the last thing you want to do is try to be serious before you're funny enough to do it.
Yeah.
But when you see people pair it that well, it's
even if you disagree with it, you know,
yeah, like I still appreciate it.
Yeah, I was listening recently to Bill Burr's bit on like why he can't do church is because he just knows that the pastor up there, do you know this bit? He goes like, it's just some guy.
Yeah.
He's like, that's just Jerry. He plays soccer. He got bullied in high school.
Yeah.
We all act like he's like, he came down from heaven. He's like, no, he's just some guy.
Just a guy.
Yeah. And that's how like, I totally like, that's like you, I actually agree with that. But I was also like listening to like George Carlin's old bit where he was just talking about like, there's no greater salesman in history than the church, because the church says like, oh, I'm butchering this bit, you know, oh, there's a God and he's always watching you. He's yeah. watching you at all times. And he has these 10 special rules.
Yeah.
And you have to follow these rules. And if you don't follow these rules, then you're going to spend eternity in hell being tortured. Also, he loves you.
Also, he loves you. Have you heard Jared Logan's bit about Jesus? Do you know him? He's so funny.
I know
funny.
Who he is, yeah, but I don't know the bit, yeah.
He's got a bit where he's talking about the same thing. He's talking about Christianity, and he goes, you know, it's like Jesus, and he's like, hey, guys, like, I died for your sins. Like, Jesus, thank you so much for dying for our sins. Like, seriously, thank you. And we're just like, and he's just like, you know what? I was happy to do it. Thank you for thanking me, but not necessary. I was happy to do it. And you're like, no, seriously, is there anything we can do? Nope, don't need any repayment. It's happy to die for you. No problem. But actually, if you could just worship me, and anytime you're going to make a decision, just think if I would do that, and then do that. But other than that, I can't think of anything. And those are my favorite jokes, and I don't think he's like a big church guy.
No,
but
no.
I can still laugh and love that joke.
I love like, a silly, you know, joke.
Like, it's silly.
I love a silly joke.
I'm not triggered.
Aaron Chuning, like, I'm starting to think one of my dads is gay. I just love it so much. I'm
starting to think one of my dads might be gay.
So what was the joke that you were telling me earlier? There was like a local guy who like stopped doing comedy, but you think about his joke. About,
oh, yeah, Will Copeland. He's a super funny comic, yeah, and he's not doing it right now, but he would go, you know, I'm a God-fearing man. Like, I won't even go in a room if I think God might be in there. So funny.
Yeah, Taylor Tomlinson, who's on this, she has a new joke that she's been doing about God, about, she's like, man, Old Testament God, like, he is petty, like Taylor Swift level petty. Like, he's just like, oh man, locust fire, look what you made me do.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, one of the, like, the great gifts is like what we do, and I don't mean that in my sense, but just like comedy in general, of like, hey, everybody lighten up.
Yeah, it's fine to talk about this stuff and not be like, yeah.
Well, it was like tonight, I got like those little groups that like booed me.
And you're like, the dog like, stuff.
Yeah, but I was like, you have laughed everything that I've made fun of. I've made fun of Mary. I've talked about bad marriage. I've talked about my wife. I've
made fun of my children.
Like, constantly. Like, with essential oils people, germaphobes. Like, I've gone down the list.
You've been making fun of people.
Yeah, in general.
And they were fine.
Just all of it. Like, and then we get a boo. And it's so funny because the joke, that punch part is like, you know, my dog is, or my kids are going to live way longer than your dog. My kids are going to, your dog is going to die way before my kids.
Yeah.
And they boo me. And I was like, I'm not saying anything that's not.
It's like, what do you think is problematic about that?
I'm just talking about life expectancy here.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, one of the things I do find encouraging about, like, you know, the celebrity pastor family is, like, you guys are, it seems it's still a strong unit, yeah?
Yeah, no, we're super close family. It's weird for me to think that there's even anything abnormal about it, because my parents have been so intentional about making sure that we don't feel like a different type of family.
Mm.
And I didn't even realize that my dad was a big deal until after it would have affected me, really.
Right, right.
So
when did that hit you?
I don't know. I think
this week.
I think when I went to college and like people there knew of him.
Oh, interesting.
Because I never really left like my home. I was like, yeah, of course pastors are known in their hometowns.
Right, right.
And he didn't travel that much when we were growing up because he just intentionally didn't want to, mm-hmm. to be around. But yeah, then when I started traveling, especially now that I do comedy and I'll do churches, and there, you know, it's great. After shows, people come up to me and they're probably gonna tell me how good of a job I did, and they're just like, "We love your grandfather and your dad, and also your thing was pretty good."
Yeah,
thanks
yeah,
it was for nice. Yeah. Didn't really have any takeaways, but it was good.
They're like, "I had my notes out ready."
Yeah, we didn't think no, this was what was gonna happen tonight, but you seemed, you know, you seemed pretty casual up there. just like, thank you. I think is this a. But I have a whole new perspective on how big of an impact both of them have had and the difference they've made a lot of people's lives. And I appreciate it more now than I ever have. But I'm also thankful that I didn't let that go to my head at an age where I might have taken a lot of pride
in it. Right. Yeah. Because some PKs do that.
Yeah. Yeah. You get to be your, you know, a big fan and a really, it's part of your identity is how known your family is. And that's just not healthy for anybody, no matter what their dad does. Yeah. Like, so I feel very fortunate that they, and I think my dad grew up with a well-known pastor father, so he knew what it was like and probably helped him navigate that pretty well. Mm-hmm. But who knows? Maybe my friends are like, Andrew, you do talk about your dad a lot, so.
No, I just think you talk like Mark Norman. That's all I think, so.
Yeah, I've been listening to too much of his podcast. I slip into him without realizing.
Well, sweet, man. I appreciate you doing this, and good job. I would keep wanting to say this weekend, because that's normally when we do a weekend, but we did a Wednesday and a Thursday.
You know, big crowds for Wednesday, Thursday. You're a draw, man.
That's very nice of you to say, but it's inaccurate, but it's very nice of you to say. So, but now that I got a Stanley on this podcast.
Yeah, get ready for the good old Stanley bump.
I'm just trying to make my way up to Gramps. I think he's a huge Instagram.
He's 87. He loves podcasts.
Yeah. Podcast in Nordstrom. That's an inside joke for nobody.
That'll make it into the act eventually.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much. Or Andrew, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Please sleep great, Dustin.
Yeah, you too, buddy. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.